Welcome. Noxie, are you there? Hello, Noxie.
Yes, sir, I'm here, man. I can't get to change my name on the phone, but I see you know my other name, so I'm here, Chair. I'm sorry.
From the city of Matthew Goniu.
That's correct, Chair. The coldest we can get is here in Cradle.
Yeah. Okay, let's hope Mrolong will join us. We're forming a quorum. Welcome, honorable members, members of the committee, standing committee, finance. Welcome, Deputy Minister Masondo. Welcome, DG and his team from Treasury. I'm not sure if there are entities, whether SARS or other entities are here. If they are here, they are also welcome after recess and constituency period. The meeting is officially open. Apologies, the Deputy Minister has already apologized. He has got another commitment at NCOP. Are there other apologies, Alan?
No apologies, except Dr. George indicating that he will join the meeting a bit late, between half past 9 and 10.
Okay. Let me also welcome the team from Standing Committee Finance, the support team. I see PBO is here, other officials from Parliament, you are all welcome. Also, let me apologize. I will leave the meeting at around half past. I'm not well. I'm here in Johannesburg to consult a doctor. I can't hear properly. My right ear has got issues. So I have to see a specialist, ear, throat, nose, and what specialist. Unfortunately, Noxie, we don't have those specialists at in Malamulele. So I have to come all the way here just to get the attention of a doctor. So they are very tight. So to get an appointment is not easy. So around half past, I will hand over to Honorable Abraham to continue to chair. Deputy Minister, over to you and your team, briefing by Treasury on APP.
No, thank you so much, Chair. And may I also present the apology of the Minister. I said it in my vernacular as I was speaking to the Chair that the Minister unfortunately won't make it because he's attending a Cabinet Committee meeting. So good morning once more to you, Chair, and the honorable members and your staff of the committee, as well as the National Treasury team under the DG, Dondo Mkhwajane. And thank you so much for this opportunity to present the National Treasury annual performance plan. Chair, this year will be another difficult year as we will be facing, as we continue to face COVID and other economic challenges. And we are hard at work as government to tackle the challenges facing us. And I think the president in the State of the Nation address, he clearly articulated the priorities of government in this financial year, which include defeating corona pandemic. And as National Treasury, we are working with the our colleagues, including the Department of Health, to provide the necessary support. Because I think it's important to defeat this virus, as it will set the necessary condition for the resumption of full economic activities without any interruptions forced by the regulation that we've got to impose to manage the virus. We're also hard at work to contribute to the second priority that the president has set out, which is the acceleration of economic recovery. And from our side, through the fiscal policy, as the Department of Finance, we're working very hard to make sure that we stabilize the debt. Because as we said previously, the rise of the debt is not in the interest of economic recovery, because it shifts the expenditure from other imported budget items, such as infrastructure, to debt service costs. But it also crowds out the investment of the private sector, since we are borrowing from the same pool, from those savings that are put together by our hard-working South Africans. And if we keep on mopping our savings out through government borrowing, we're denying the private sector access to the these savings, which are imported for the economic recovery. And we are also working very hard to contribute towards the structural reform through Operation Vulindlela. And we are also strengthening ourselves institutionally, including SARS, which will be presenting its APP tomorrow, to make sure that our capacity to extract the revenue necessary for servicing South Africans, it's basically realized. And we'll also be in this financial year, having consulted with relevant departments and completed the proposed framework to establish the State Bank, we will be making sure that this issue is finalized from the point of view of setting solid processes towards establishment of the State Bank. It has taken some time because we had to consult with some of the departments and make sure that this alignment with a certain department, including the Department of Communication, which is responsible for the post bank. And positive progress is being made on filling key appointments in the National Treasury and will be accelerated in this financial year. And the accelerated calendar for the amendment to the Public Procurement Bill has been accepted with presentation to relevant clusters. It's underway. And the met on the public sector wage bill, Chair, National Treasury continues to fully support the collective bargaining process. And I think with these few words and opening remarks, may I ask the DG and his team to lead us in presenting the annual performance plan 2021. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members of Parliament. Thank you very much for the opportunity that you gave us to come and present the annual performance plan to you. Laura Msem and I will take you through the presentation, wherein we will time and guide the committee in terms of key salient features that informs the plan of the now annual performance plan moving forward, as indicated. I will start with slide number one, Chair, whereby slide number one, if Laura can move the slides for us, if slide number one, essentially column one is the mandate that we have in the Constitution, in the PFMA and MFMA in terms of the work that we do and how we do it. Column number two basically indicates the aims to achieve, where the vision and the mission of the Treasury is articulated, and you can see that. And column number three essentially states the outcomes, and in particular, we are aligned to priority number one, three, five, six, and seven. That's our contribution, and all of these are aligned, obviously, to the sixth administration. Going through to slide number three, slide number three basically indicates the nine programs that we have at National Treasury. And as you can see, program number 8 and program number 9 are transfers only to SARS and to the financial intelligence and state security. And so, you know, I will leave it at that in terms of the slide and then the details of which we obviously will come back to later. Slide number 4. These are in addition to processes, legislation that currently is in front of Parliament. And this is in addition to amendments to the legislation already underway, as I say, including the Public Procurement Bill, which is expected to be tabled in December of 2021, and the DM briefly spoke about that. So this is in addition to some of the key updates to institutional policy and strategies that we want to focus on in the current financial year, and we'll be looking at very closely in working through this. Slide number 5, Chair, focuses on the work of the department where we have the we've set ourselves, both slide number 5 and 6, we've set ourselves a very ambitious agenda, as the DM says, the challenges ahead. And in addition to the measures to relieve the devastating effects of the pandemic, we'll be directing our work essentially to ensuring that we contribute to the advancement of the National Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan. And also we want to support key vital economic reforms in advancing the transformation of our economy. That's remain fundamental in terms of what we need to be doing as the National Treasury. And these measures, of course, will realign the composition of spending, which is again an important aspect, from consumption towards investment in our efforts, essentially to support lowering the cost of capital. So that's another key area where we want to realign the composition of spending from consumption to investment. As the Deputy Minister said, Operation Vulindlela is there. It's managed directly by us and the Presidency to unlock and fast-track the implementation of the structural economic reforms that are there and advance this work in ensuring that we are able to unlock the blockages that are there in the system through our interventions in the Operation Vulindlela. We also, in 2021-22, want to make substantial progress in the implementation of the zero-based budgeting. We did indicate that we'll be piloting the ZBB in 2 departments in particular, in the National Treasury and also in the Department of Public Enterprises. So we will ensure that we make substantial progress in the 21-22 financial area in this area. The other important thing, Chair, is to press for self-sustainability of state-owned companies. Our state-owned companies remain a challenge, and we have to ensure that they become self-sustainable moving forward, that they are able to embark on their operations on the strengths of their own balance sheet without reliance on the state in general. Again, Chair, we want to strengthen our anti-corruption mechanisms and measures through modernization and automation of the public procurement system. We have, last year we started this in terms of the reporting. We started this, and the work and the experiences from COVID-19 and the procurement thereof demonstrated that it's possible if we focus our efforts in modernizing and automating our systems. Again, we want to do that. In addition, Chair, our annual performance plan will focus and the efforts in the department in a number of areas in terms of the work that each of the 7 divisions do in the National Treasury, which is coordination of the budget process. We continue doing that, monitor and analyze public expenditure, as well as managing future spending growth and fiscal risks. Coordination of fiscal relations remain at the center in terms of the work that we do among the 3 spheres of government. We'll obviously focus on advising and in making inputs on tax policy and the frameworks related and the legislation and strengthening the financial sector regulation. That also remains. I did indicate the work that we have to do in ensuring that the economic recovery and reconstruction plan is enhanced through the work that the Economic Policy Division will continue to do. Our annual funding program, by way of making sure that we manage our debt in a most effective way is something that we'll continue doing, including that we ensure that our liquidity requirements are met through effective cash management and overseeing state-owned companies that obviously have got guarantees, including others. Strengthening the public finance management as well as improving financial management governance and compliance across all spheres remain also at the center in terms of the work that we will continue doing. And managing, of course, the financial systems that underpin or underlay the work that we do in government. Supply chain remains a key area in the procurement reforms and will ensure, in terms of what the Constitution expects of us, that a more transparent, efficient, effective, and economically processes are enhanced in the work that we do. One of the most important things that we have to continue doing is contributing to advancing South Africa's national interest or national economic interest within the context of the work that we do in the international area, including facilitating regional integration and international cooperation, whether it's in the work that we do with SADC, the work that we do within SACU, the work that we do within the regional economic institutions, other regional economic institutions, including multilateral development agencies and banks. Supporting infrastructure and economically integrated cities and communities remain at the center, not only focus on established cities, but also focus on rural areas and the kind of focus and funding programs that aim to ensure that what departments have set aside, we obviously assist in ensuring that equitable distribution of resources continue to happen, including ensuring that we support vulnerable communities and vulnerable members of our society. So in terms of now our annual performance plan, I will then ask Laura Mseme, who's responsible for strategic planning, monitoring, and evaluation in the National Treasury, to assist in taking some of the slides from slide 6 forward. And then at the end, I will obviously come back. Thank you, Chair. With your permission, I'll ask Laura to take through the slides. Thank you.
Okay, she can take over or proceed with the presentation. Over to you, Laura.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning to the Chair, the committee members, and my fellow colleagues. Thank you very much, DG. It's my responsibility to take the committee through the details of our APP across our various programs. I'd like to start it with program one. This is our administration. Our EXCO has identified certain initiatives in program one, which is our support programs, as critical going into this reporting period, given that these support functions undergirdle the work that is done by our core divisions. In particular, we will be focusing on ensuring that ICT is enhanced and strengthened in National Treasury. Given the kind of work and the nature of the work that National Treasury does, ICT has always been critical, but even more so given our current work environment. A key area of focus for us in this financial year will be ensuring that National Treasury receives an unqualified audit, both in terms of financial and non-financial performance information. And much work has been done in both of these areas to ensure that we attain that unqualified audit opinion. National Treasury's work is very much reliant on having a highly skilled personnel, and therefore the training and development program in National Treasury is a keystone initiative to ensure that all of our employees remain up to date in their specific and highly specialized work area. And therefore we robustly focus on the training and development budget for National Treasury. And that is an indicator for us in this year to utilize 70% of that training program. And DG has set up a special purpose committee within National Treasury that acts as our gender focal point. This is an important development for us in Treasury, in that this committee, which is made up of employees of National Treasury across all divisions and across all levels, provide recommendations to the DG on matters of gender mainstreaming, initiatives working towards ending gender-based violence and transformation across National Treasury in all spheres, including the policy realm, the operations and administration, as well as the culture conditions of National Treasury. It's also important to raise and remind the committee that National Treasury has been undergoing an organizational review. The purpose of this review is to align the institution structure with our new strategy. As the committee will recall, our 2020-2025 strategy introduced a number of changes in the strategic priorities and imperatives of Treasury aligned to the civil administration. And the process to then ensure that our structures aligned to that strategy is underway and will be completed in this year. For program two, we will be focusing on continuing the research papers that are issued through and published through the SA TIDE program. This is a significant partnership for National Treasury in that it expands and further develops our economic policy research capabilities, and most importantly, it ensures that the policy research that National Treasury undertakes has a significant distribution reach. We will also be developing and releasing our four economic forecasts. Economic forecasting is a critical input into the budget process. And just a note for the committee is that progress has been made to further strengthen the capabilities in this work area. We also continue to monitor external vulnerabilities facing the domestic economy, and this work that provides recommendations on how to maintain macro stability and provide a supporting environment for transformative policies is very much done as a cross-stream work area that includes a number of other divisions in the Treasury, including the Budget Office, ALM, Public Finance, and of course IGR. And work that has currently been done in this collective manner includes gender budget mainstreaming as well as climate budget pegging. For program three, which sits at the core of the work that we do, includes our budget work, our public finance work, and our intergovernmental financial relations. For this year, we will continue to do the coordination of the budget process. It is the priority for National Treasury and will be so and will continue to be so. We recognize the challenges of this process historically, but even more so under the current conditions. We also will be introducing three reforms to enhance provincial and local government fiscal frameworks. This is a key area for National Treasury, but most importantly, we will be implementing five township economic development strategies. This work continues to develop the township economies as part of economic growth and development at local government level in recognition that the impact of economic development is at its greatest at local government level. We will produce 36 infrastructure plans. This is in line with the priority of infrastructure in our economic recovery and development. And the committee will see that infrastructure and its associated work, that is the responsibility of National Treasury, has increased in priority across all of our planning instruments, including having indicators that relate to the Treasury's mandate in the MTSF, APP, and the operational plans. We will identify and approve 20 catalytic projects within metropolitan cities, secondary cities, as well as rural towns in this year. The focus remains for us in terms of our economic development initiatives to locate these within the cities and local government areas where we've indicated we believe the greatest impact will occur. Importantly, we will, as we always do, is report to the Standing Committee on Appropriations with our quarterly expenditure reports for departments. This is critical work and continues to be. Monitoring of expenditure is a mainstay of National Treasury. And it contributes in two ways. First of all, it contributes in terms of prevention of poor financial management. Reporting always does. But critically, it also identifies incidents where poor financial management has occurred. And in this way, it can be addressed and remedial action can be taken. But equally importantly, consequence management can be implemented. Work continues to strengthen, embed and support financial management and compliance across government. And this work is focused in the areas of municipal financial improvement programs. Just to note, in terms of program three for the committee, National Treasury has undertaken an impact study of the interventions that we have conducted ourselves as well as other departments in empowerment and training and development around public procurement as well as financial management. We are assessing the impact this has had on good financial management practices at local government. And we will provide the committee with the outcomes of this report once it's completed. In terms of Programme 4, this area is responsible for prudently managing government's financial assets and liabilities. We will continue to have oversight over state-owned enterprises. We will continue to ensure that we timelessly and accurately make payments against government debt obligations. We will ensure that there's sufficient cash resources, taking into consideration the current fiscal positions, as well as ensure that we manage government's contingent liabilities. We will be focusing on the work outcomes for Program 5 in this financial year. This is a priority as identified by the EXCO of National Treasury, and it includes the key work areas of the OAG and OCPO. Focus has already commenced with strengthening and capacitating both the OAG and OCPO in areas of critical vacancies that are being filled. But work will be done on ensuring governance and compliance across all spheres of government. We will, in this regard, be facilitating 16 capacity development programs. As previously indicated to the committee, the impact of these capacity development programs, some of which have been running for some time now, is being assessed under IGR for impact in local government in order to ensure that the work that has been done in capacity development is actually having a sustainable impact in the good financial management of a local government in particular. Noting a key development with IFMS, recognising our historical challenges, we're pleased to announce that there's been significant work done in the area of IFMS. Governance issues have been resolved. Committees are now established and are working. Government documents have been approved, reviewed by the steering committee and all of our partners. Remembering that Treasury is but one partner in the IFMS, these governance documents have now been approved, and we will be rolling out the generic template of IFMS into our lead sites and pilot sites this year, which means IFMS will be in its implementation phase. Critically for supply chain management, OCPO, not only are we strengthening the capacity and capabilities of OCPO, but given the amendment to the procurement bill, we will be commencing a process of ensuring that the structure of OCPO is aligned to the new amendments once they are approved, and that the structure of OCPO will be able to deliver on the new bill as it is approved. we will also be implementing 21 transversal contracts during the course of this year. For Program 6, this is our international financial relations. Just reminding the committee that they delivered 100% on all of their indicators in the last financial year. And given the challenges that they have with their work area, particularly with the restrictions of travel, the restrictions of meetings, we recognize the work and effort that this division has done in order to keep advocating for South Africa's financial, economic, and developmental interests in forums regionally and globally. Policy positions will continue to be developed that takes our positions forward, and 3 country partnership framework progress reports will be developed. These are important instruments in the work that we do in our international engagements. Finally, Program 7, this is the civil and military pensions contributions to funds and other benefits. Remembering to remind the committee that we monitor the aspects of the work that is done that relates to the mandate of National Treasury. And so we will be ensuring that we improve and integrate customer service experience by requiring that we have 99% of benefits are paid, that have been validated within the required turnaround times, excuse me, and to ensure good governance. These are the 2 aspects that we require, excuse me, to ensure in this area. I can continue for the committee. In terms of the financial aspects, Treasury's budget, you will see, has slightly increased in the 2021-22 year in comparison to our previous year. This relates to an increased allocation to the land bank. We will increase the expenditure of IFMS, given that we are now in our implementation phase. SARS will receive an additional 1 billion allocation. DBSA has an increased allocation from 14 in the last allocation in the last financial year to 233.6, as well as our municipal revenue improvement allocation has been increased from our previous reporting period of 408 million it's currently 408 million up from last year's 332 million. Important to note that in terms of the full budget of National Treasury, if I can move to the slide, committee members, is that 67% of our budget is actual transfers and subsidies, 26% is payment from financial assets, 5% is on goods and services, and our compensation budget is a 2% of our allocation. In terms of our HR matters, we've provided you with figures. You'll see that we are addressing the filling the critical positions that are currently vacant. You will see that we are our total number is currently 979, which we are planning to increase through filling those critical vacancies during the course of this year to 1,055. And we will see that the number will, over the medium term, will average out at about 1,034, which will mean that we have our critical funded positions filled, that the organizational review would have ensured that positions are aligned to our structure, and that Treasury is able to deliver on the imperatives in our mandate. I will now hand back to the DG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, our presentation ends here. And we will be more than happy to engage the committee and take questions and comments, if any. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. To the DG. Thank you so much, DG. Thank you, Laura, Deputy Minister, and your entire and to Raj. That was the presentation of National Treasury, Honorable Member.
Thank you very much. I don't know if maybe, Chair, you can hear me.
I'm here. Can't you hear me? It's Abraham speaking on behalf of the Chair. Yeah, I'm speaking on behalf of the Chairperson, DJ. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, sure. I was just thanking the Deputy Minister, yourself, Laura, and the rest of the NA entourage for the presentation. Honorable members, there it is, the APP presentation by National Treasury. Alan, you assist me if there are any hands that you can see on your side. Members?
For now, there's no hands, Chair. Okay, Kenny Morolong.
Honorable Morolong. Okay.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson, and good morning. The reports about the fact that AFUD plans to develop a framework for the State Bank are commendable. You would know that we've been seized with this matter for some time, and in almost every presentation of National Treasury, these issues have from time to time arrived. So we really wish to commend the efforts of Treasury in developing a framework. I've got a few questions, Chair. And this question I always am very passionate about. I've asked it in almost every presentation too. I wanted to find out what is the status of the integrated financial management system? What are the timelines for the completion of this project? Why does this project not appear on the APP? Chair, can the Treasury provide the detailed geography of the planned 20 catalytic projects? Can we also find out under which program is the Government Technical Advisory Center, GDAC? Can we also find out, Chairperson, because Operation Vulindlela seems to be an important component of the work of Treasury in unblocking and implementing economic reforms. Is there any reason why it does not appear on the APP? Where is this program located? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Morolong. Any other takers, Alan?
For now, no.
Okay. My few takers, Honorable Deputy Minister, would be around the broad framework that we have been given by the DG. In fact, starting with the Deputy Minister, for example, where he speaks of the issue of COVID-19, which I think as a country, we cannot close any discussion without referring to it. And now that we're talking to finance, we would really be interested in finding out what the vaccination program is, how it is progressing, especially with regards to its financing. The second thing for me refers to, I think it's Laura who talked to issues of external vulnerabilities. And I just had a question mark there as to whether this includes municipalities. If we could only have an expansion on that, so that we have a sense of what we're talking about when we talk external vulnerabilities. Currently, currently one would really be interested to know what the research section of the department is engaged upon at this time. It's really appreciated if the department keeps abreast in terms of developments. However, we would really love to know what the work is on about at this point in time in terms of research. Just lastly for me is an appreciation for the work done within the gender focal point section, which is a special committee in program one. But I have to ask this, even though I am not sure if it's a fair question to ask to you as a department, National Treasury, what it is that you're doing differently in view of the fact that there is an escalation of the extent of gender-based violence, especially in rural areas. One would really be interested to know. Lastly, would really be to check. It's a question that Honorable Morolong has also asked. But I hear on the issue of the 20 catalytic projects, I don't know whether it was the slip of the tongue that DG or Laura spoke to cities, and one had a question of where do we as a country locate rural development, because in most of our provinces we do have rural areas and it's large pieces of land that are rural in our country. So I would like Treasury to indicate to us, as they indicate on the projects, what is there for rural development. Thank you so much. Over to you, NA. National Treasury, sorry.
Yes. No, thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you very much. I am not alone, as you indicated in the beginning. I'm with a few colleagues. Let me dish out some responsibilities. They can be heard. Marie-Jane Ngaleni is here. She will talk to us about the work that we do in rural, in cities, and about commenting on the 20 catalytic projects that are essentially, if it's the question that I understand, Morolong, it's mainly in the Department of Human Settlements, but the question can come. Laura will then answer the question on the GTEC and also the question on, IFMS and where we're going. And I can always come in. And then Wipuso is from Economic Policy. She's also on the call. And she's one of the chief directors there. Duncan Peters, so the DDG is on leave, unfortunately. But Wipuso will be able to then take us through some of the work that they do from a research point of view and what currently we are doing. And what are the areas of focus there that you're doing? Now, in terms of just maybe talking generally about gender-based violence and funding thereof, what we are doing, Honorable Abraham, is that in the Treasury, we took the national program and then customized it to suit the National Treasury's program. And that's why we have that focus group that I set up and that we... Once in a while, at my level, we have an engagement with various, committees, including this one, and then we are able to share experiences, taking cue from the program that is essentially led by the Department of Women, so they are leading that work. And obviously, I know for sure departments have made sure that we mainstream the work that they do in all our government programs. So there is work that they are doing there. And then I can imagine if the committee would want more details, we can obviously get those from the department in terms of what exactly they're doing in rural areas, in particular around gender focused areas that needs to be focused on. Maybe let me start with Laura and then Mary Jane can come in and then Guiso can also come. Thanks.
Thanks, DG. All right.
Thank you very much, committee and DG. In respect of the IFMS question, please note that it is an indicator in our APP. It falls under program 5. It's indicator number 5.1.6 on page 74 of our APP for the MTSF period. And for this year, it remains indicator 5.1.6, but for the quarterly indicators, please refer to page 76 of our APP. In respect of the question on GTAC, committee members will recall that GTAC has now established its own separate and focused report planning and reporting processes. Historically, GTAC was part of our APP and our APR, but since then they have matured in terms of their own capabilities, and GTAC now releases their own APP and their own APR. The parts of the work where GTAC does specific projects for National Treasury, such as MFIB as well as Jobs Fund, you will see those indicators are in National Treasury's APP. But the operations of GTAC are managed and monitored through their own planning and reporting instruments. On the monitoring of Operation Vulindlela, indeed, the committee is correct that it is not currently in the APP of National Treasury. However, going forward in the next financial year, it will certainly be included. Having said that, Treasury is monitoring the operations of Operation Vulindlela in two ways. One, we are working with the team, and our focal point is the DDG for Economic Policy, who is the link between Treasury and the Presidency, who are jointly responsible for the delivery of Operation Vulindlela, and it is located in the Deputy Minister of Treasury's office. We are monitoring in two respects. One, we are monitoring the operations of Operation Vulindlela as it relates to Treasury's responsibilities, i.e. the setting up of the office as well as the financing of the office and the resourcing. And then for those core business of Operation Vulindlela that falls within National Treasury's ambit, we will be monitoring that, and that component would then be added into our APP going forward. In the interim, similarly as we had committed to the committee that we will report when we report on our performance on the establishment of the State Bank, we commit to the committee that we will report on Operation Vulindlela, both in terms of the separate and purposeful reporting on its establishment, given that it is a joint function between ourselves and the Presidency, as well as those indicators that will be included in the next APP. On the matter of other issues that will be dealt with by those specific divisions, I just want to also remind the committee that specific monitoring of those indicators will obviously be part of our reporting quarterly, and we will provide evidence on all of those, including the research papers. Just leading into Bulputso's input on that matter, we will commit also that SPM&E will provide the committee with last year's research papers that are on our website, but may be easier for us to just provide directly to the committee. Thank you, DJ. I'll hand back to you.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the question on before Madi Jen comes, before we do so, there was a question on the vaccination program. We are on track. Two questions came there about the funding. One is that honourable members will notice that in this current financial year, we've set aside 4.354 billion towards this program. And obviously, we'll be closely monitoring this, and if need be, at the adjustments budget, if we need to augment that, we'll do that. We did commit before that this is a public good that will make anything possible to ensure that we allocations to this area is provided for. So as a start, we have got that amount, and so far, there are no challenges there. Secondly, you know, it has been noted that the, you know, the report I'm getting is that the J&J vaccines will be coming in the around you know, in the next month or two, in the next 2 months, and then the Pfizer vaccine arrived, going for testing currently, and all that is also on track in terms of that rollout. So from the colleagues who work with closely with the Department of Health indicate there are no challenges insofar as that is concerned. But insofar as allocations are concerned, as I say, we'll be looking at very closely if need be. We need to augment that. We'll certainly do that. Marie-Jane, do you want to come on in terms of the question that Honorable Rolong had on the catalytic projects, including the work that we do in the cities? Thanks. And
thank you, Chair, and thank you, DG, and honorable members of the committee. I think the question is asking, where do we locate rural development as a country, and in relation to the programs that we are running in terms of catalyzing developments in the cities, towns, and our metros. So I would start by saying that I think in our, you know, fiscal framework and fiscal system and the programs that government runs, there is a very clear, you know, consciousness of differentiations between your rural and your urban, and understanding the challenges that the urban areas are faced with and the opportunities that they are present, and what we need to unleash in order for the, or what we need to do to unleash their potential. And also understanding the rural areas, their challenges, and what needs to be done in those rural areas. So when you look at our rural development, I do think that is one of the areas that government has over the years really focused on. The very fact that we have got the Ministry of Rural Development and also Agriculture. So those programs are really meant as an intentional effort by government to drive rural development. And it's something that has been happening over the years. The only thing is really about improvement that needs to happen in those areas, including a lot of infrastructure programs that are also targeted to addressing the backlogs in the rural areas, in all areas of basic services that are run by provinces and municipalities. So I do think that in reflecting on what government is doing in rural areas, I think if we were to put together all the financing that is actually targeted, it's going to be quite a lot. Because even when we allocate allocations through our formulas, we do allocate much more, you know, per household to rural areas relevant to the cities, which is where actually money is actually being taxes are being collected. So what we also have appreciated is that urbanization is a reality, and that there is over the years observation of urbanization of poverty, and you would see the poor people being flocking in informal settlement that reflect failure in terms of how this urbanization is actually managed in such a way that it doesn't lead to more poverty and more squalor conditions in these areas. So we running the programs that aimed at supporting cities and supporting towns, and these are in line with urban development framework, national urban development framework, that also really articulated some of the challenges that actually are inhibiting the cities and our towns to really be key drivers of economic growth without actually government having to spend much more money. So when we talk about the catalytic development programs, we are talking about those projects that we are saying using the financing that is going to these metros and the cities and towns. How do we get them to actually plan in such a way that they can focus and direct investments that can actually leverage, financing from the private sector, from and integrate financing across the spheres of government and begin to drive development in these areas. So and this is the issue of trying to catalyze spatial transformation, which we know that our cities have not really been cured from the legacy of apartheid in terms of how where people are located, the poor located very far from opportunities. So part of this is really about driving that program of actually supporting the cities to drive the program of spatial transformation. And we believe that this is really about unlocking their potential and ensuring that they can actually, urbanization doesn't become a curse, but it can become a lever for actually improved efficiency and improve economic development and the quality of life that are actually coming into the urban areas. So our programs really is running, is having the areas that we have identified in terms of the cities, the intermediate cities, if you like, where we work over with COCTA, because we have also in COCTA reformed one of their grants to actually enable that targeting of investments that are leveraging other investments. And then we're looking at also and the towns and the metros in specific areas. And I think that is really also trying to show what we can do to actually drive investment that can actually bring about greater value of the funds that are being spent by government. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I made a mistake. Instead of saying 2 weeks, I said 2 months for the J&J vaccine. It will be in 2 months. 2 weeks at the middle of this month, current month. Wipuso, do you want to come in on the issue about the research and the work that you guys do in economic policy?
Thank you, DG. Certainly. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members of the committee. So I will briefly respond to the question on the research partnership that we currently have, which is SA-TIDE. So briefly, SA-TIDE is a collaboration between the United Nations University World Institute for Development Economic Research, or UNUIDA, International Food Policy Research Institute, IFPRI, as well as other government departments and research organizations in South Africa and in the sub-region. And of course, Treasury is part of that partnership. In terms of the work areas that the research touches on, it can be divided into 6 broad thematic work streams, and they are as follows. The first is enterprise development for job creation and growth. The second is public revenue mobilization for inclusive development. The third is macroeconomic modeling for policy formulation. The fourth is turning the tide for inequality. The fifth is climate change and energy transitions as drivers of change. And the sixth is regional growth and for Southern Africa's prosperity, rather. Collectively, these work streams produce research that is of high quality, but also policy relevant, that offers solutions to the current bottlenecks that the South African economy faces. It also is novel in some ways in that it also has the dimension of thinking about how to respond to these challenges from a regional perspective. To Laura's point earlier, we can also provide a list of the papers that were published in the past financial year for your interest. But they are also publicly available on the SA-TIDE website, which we can drop the link to for your perusal at your convenience. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wipuso. Chair, I think that was about the questions that we were asked, and then we will be more than happy to take more questions, if any, and comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, DG. Honorable Skhosana, are you awake? DG, I want to mention this. I'm not sure if we have other parties present in this meeting. However, in our caucus, we were requested to indicate the bills that we are going to be passing in the various departments that we are oversighting. So I'm also interested to know in as far as that is concerned, what do we have in store as National Treasury, so that also as the committee we are able to plan according to the definite bills that are coming our way for this year. So secondly, DJ, I did pick up that you did indicate about the audit outcomes, and just for the APP now, are there any audit action plans, especially in view of the other sectors within finance that have not performed so well according to the audit report? Is there no plan, whether maybe it's implementation, monitoring, and so on? If you could talk to that. Just a follow-up on the issue of rural development. I hear what the response is saying in terms of city development. And I hear that, yes, there is a department called rural development, but I seem to miss the intention or the commitment by a National Treasury to really transform our rural areas, not necessarily to become cities, but to become vibrant economically on their own by, amongst other things, creating or enhancing their infrastructure. Because if you start with the issue of informal settlements in cities and everything that is happening there, sorry, you will be starting at the wrong place, because there is a reason why there is an influx into urban areas. It is because of the absence of economic activity in the rural areas. That is why the question is asked, because you also do not want people to flock into the cities while the rural areas have a lot of land that is not being used. That is how or where the question is coming from. Just lastly, DG, for me, the issue of filling in of critical vacant positions, it's pleasing to see that it's being incremental in a sense. However, one is also interested to know that if we say we are now filling 8,059 of those, how many are they? You know, where do you want to go with that? So that we have a sense that as we move from 900 to 1,000, how close are we to clinching the whole complement of the vacant critical posts? Thank you, DJ.
My hand is up, Chair.
Okay, you can come in.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And greetings to the Honourable Deputy Minister and all of Honourable Members, the DG and the Treasury team. One mine, it's just on the support that the Treasury is giving to municipalities. As I think I think it was indicated in one of our meetings last year, that they are having a program in supporting municipalities on issues of financial management, and just to assist the municipalities to have favorable audit outcome, which is, I think, is one of the challenges that we are having as a country that the majority of our municipalities, they are getting very unfavorable audit outcomes. So I just want to find out as to up to so far, how far is that particular program? Is it yielding any positive results? Are we likely to see the improvement in terms of audit outcomes of municipalities in the near future? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Skhosana. Honorable George.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies for being late at the meeting. I had an urgent matter to resolve. I just wanted to ask, the question's already been asked by yourself regarding the legislation that's being planned. So that was one of my questions. But I mean, also specifically, it's a matter that I've been raising over time, is I wanted to just get some insights into pension fund reform. I certainly know that there's been a lot of movement of late on that, specifically with the very difficult circumstances that members are finding themselves in at the moment. So I would like to know whether there is anything planned or strategized in that particular aspect. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable George. I'm sorry. Any more hands? I don't see any. Over to you, DJ.
No, it's me. I raised my hand already.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see your hand. Is it Shivambo? Honorable Shivambo?
Yes.
Okay. You can take the floor.
I want to talk to two issues or few observations that want to make about National Treasury in general, that it's actually very difficult to even participate in these meetings because we are told lies every day here. Like we've been 2-3 years ago, there was a commitment on creation of a state bank, and all these meetings, there's commitment that we are soon to table a progress report. This is what is going to happen, but there's nothing that is happening in that regard. Nothing. And commitments are just made, and then we've just made fools who are being misled by the department and the ministry in that regard. And that is problematic in terms of what happens. And they do so because there's no consequences, like on people lying, deliberately knowing that they're lying in terms of what is going to happen. So I think that is very problematic in the manner that it is. I also want to talk about the PIC, because the PIC amendment bill that has been signed has got specific directives in terms of how the board of the PIC must be constituted and how it must be composed of and who must be chairperson and everything else there. But now there is no PIC board that is compliant with the law in the manner that is required. And the other thing is that it's dysfunctional because a lot of people have left, have not been replaced in the manner that it is. The person who is a chairperson there is also a chairperson of Discovery Bank Board. So we've got a person who is a chairperson of a separate bank, and it's a chairperson of a very huge public institutions like the PIC, and nothing is being done in terms of what is happening. I think that there's generally a lot of things which are not being done correctly in National Treasury, which we're not talking about in terms of what should happen. It's actually discouraging to even interact with people who are just going to lie to you and make commitments and are not honest even to their own processes. They're not honest in terms of what happens with a legislation in terms of all of these things. Those are a few observations. There are so many things that we can talk about, but I don't want to be lied to again when we're dealing with all of these issues.
Okay. Are you through, Honorable Shivambo?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Thank you so much. DJ?
Well, thank you very much. Maybe and I don't know if the deputy minister is still on the call to maybe even respond to Honorable Shibambu in terms of the two points that he's making on the PIC. As he correctly says, I mean the ministry, meaning the deputy minister and the minister will be better placed to respond to the PIC board and the choice of the chairperson and the composition of the board in its entirety. So I think the issue is that we still have to obviously respond to this point, and it's been raised a few times. The second point that Honorable Shambu is raising around the creation of the state bank, insofar as, apart from what the deputy minister said, I think the technical work that we are doing, or that at least I know I've overseen in the last few months, is the interaction that are critical and necessary for a bank to be established. Look at what we have, look at that's why we had intensive discussions with the Department of Communications. We had discussions around big questions, and that's part of the conversation that's been happening, and that's what cabinet must guide us on, because the CAP memo is ready. I can confirm that it is ready. It's not that we announce, we don't have it. I mean, we've done the work to the best of our abilities in ensuring that. But however, and the key question still remains, the Department of Commerce had their own processes in the post bank and its future, and there's also another option of dissolving that and actually creating a new state bank at the backdrop of a current post bank. There are many other DFIs like your Itala type bank, which also, in a way, are banks and owned by the state. Do we just dissolve all of them into one big entity, or do we just create a new thing? So these are options that are currently there in the memo that we've prepared. And so, to an extent, it's taking long, as the deputy minister said, but to the best of my knowledge and process that I have overseen and was chairing discussions thereof, there is some technical work that has been done. But what is not there, and as Honorable Shambu says, is a pronouncement that says a bank has been established and a board is there. So that obviously has not been done. So, but again, I guess I can imagine when cabinet has finalized this matter, and the deputy minister can obviously at the right time respond to that. But these two, I had hoped that the deputy minister is here to respond to this particular. But we'll take note of the second one in particular, and even request a written response to the comment that Honorable Shibambu is making, so that there's honesty in the way we engage with the committee and respect to what the committee expects of us, which I think is a good thing to do. The other thing, Mary Jeng may come back on the audit process and outcomes and what you've been doing insofar as municipalities are concerned, especially the questions that Honorable Skosana is asking. And Laura, I don't know, maybe we can touch on other questions and then we can then go on and then try and touch all. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you, DG. On the matter of the legislation, we did provide in our APP and in the presentation a full list of the legislation that we and strategies that we are currently working on. However, we do not expect all of them to come through into Parliament this year. What we will definitely bring through is obviously the Financial Sector Laws Amendment Bill. It's currently before Parliament. The Appropriation and Adjustments Appropriation Bills, the Division of Revenue and Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendments of Revenue Laws, Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill, and the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill. And then, obviously, we're expecting the Public Procurement Bill to come through, but only in December. The longer list that we've provided to the committee, and we included in our APP, is all of those pieces of legislation and strategy that we are currently working on, but they're in different progress statuses. In respect of the audit findings, as the committee so correctly indicated, monitoring the redress, mitigation, and implementation of controls to ensure that audit findings are not repeated. It's a key component of moving towards what is locally known as a clean audit. In order to do that, National Treasury has done two key, we've implemented two key processes. The first one is we've set up a committee of senior National Treasury officials whose responsibility is to ensure the implementation of the controls that have been agreed to with the AG to ensure that the audit findings are addressed and that they do not reoccur. This committee meets on a quarterly basis. They receive evidence from the various audit finding owners, and then that is reported back to the DG, to EXCO, and to the audit. In that way, we ensure that the controls that have been agreed to are implemented and we don't expect our repeat audit findings. The second thing that we've done is we've included the mitigation measures that have been agreed to either in the external audit findings or internal audit findings. Those mitigation plans are included in each chief director's operational plans, and it is included in the performance agreements of each of the DGs. And in this way, we have linked the strategic, the planning process to the monitoring process, to the reporting process on an organizational way, as well as individually, making individual employees accountable. And we're confident that this will certainly shift us forward towards our goal of a clean audit. On the matter of personnel, you are correct. We are currently at 979. We are hoping to be able to fill positions this year to 1055. And those positions have been identified both within each division as critical, and then there's been an assessment across divisions to identify organizationally critical positions. And those are currently being filled. So there is a clear process to link the priority positions that need to be filled for each division's service delivery, but equally across the organization in order to ensure that we deliver against the mandate. Critically, we are filling positions in Program 5, as I've indicated, but also in areas such as economic policy, budget office, as well as the other divisions as required, including IGR. I think that I have answered the questions that I can assist with. Thank you, DG.
Thank you. There's a very fine line in terms of the role of the National Treasury vis-a-vis the role of some national departments and some sectors. I'm responding to your question around our role in rural areas and municipalities and holding us accountable to some of the things that's happening in some of the sectors, including some of the areas. 216 of the Constitution gives us certain type of responsibilities. The PFMA expands on those responsibilities. What then it does, Chair, it obviously, we can only, to an extent in some cases, provide an oversight on financial governance and the expenditure and budgeting thereof of that particular sector or department, which we do pretty well. We've got systems that have matured that are in that space that ensure that we are able to track expenditure and then actually keep accountability checks in place around the spending and the allocations, whether the amounts have been spent efficiently and effectively. That's what the PFMA and FMA and the Constitution says we must do. But I'm seeing a fine line, because then the program of actual implementation of certain programs, day-to-day operations, remains the sector, remains the department in question. If it's health, it will be health. If it's the Department of Rural Development in terms of their mandate and their APP and their objectives and mission, it will be that particular department. So sometimes, which I'm not saying you're doing that, Chair, but sometimes we find that we are very thin in terms of details of what some of the departments are doing, but we found that in some cases we obviously know quite a lot in terms of how and how they should be implementing. Because we expect, after budgets have been passed, after budget votes have been passed in Parliament, that then those particular departments and accounting officers, their responsibility then kicks in terms of program and implementation, including ensuring that money is spent effectively and efficiently. So that's why in some cases, Chair, we then say, we will give you the facts in terms of estimates of spending and estimates of targets, where they have been achieved, looking at our own prism of our own space and eyes. Then the department themselves then must appear, or then in some cases they are joint portfolio committees. So that's always a very difficult thing that sometimes we do. But however, we've got analysts that look in terms of the expenditures that are taking place, and we obviously robustly engage the said departments in terms of the targets, whether they've met their targets or not. Because as you know, the estimates of national expenditure is something that we produce at the time of the budget, and then our analysts, both budget analysts, including expenditure analysts, focus on that and use that as a barometer. I see, Chair, I'll ask Mr. Momoniam to come to the question around the, Honorable George has asked around pension fund reform and other questions that may be a moment. Momo, come.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks, DJ, and morning, honorable members. On pension fund reform, that is ongoing. Yes, it is slower than what I think we would all want, largely because we are in continual discussions with stakeholders at NADLAC. We publish both in the budget review and in the MTPPS, just the focus areas that we have. So, the key focus area, for example, that we have is... firstly, that we obviously have got annuitization for provident funds, which took effect on the 1st of March this year. And just going forward, we're still engaging on a whole question of early withdrawals versus getting preservation. We've linked the two. Because if you don't, you'll find that members will just withdraw everything. And to the extent that it's any withdrawal, it's going to be a very limited withdrawal. But the issues are complex, and I think will take a bit of time to resolve and get agreement within NADLAC, because I think that's going to be quite critical. But linked to that, we are also looking at issues of auto-enrollment, establishing a default fund for those that don't have funds. We're continuing with consolidation, better governance over umbrella funds, for example. The other initiative that's ongoing, we've published all the changes to regulation 28 to enable more investment into infrastructure. So those are some of the reforms that are ongoing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm not sure, Honourable Shivambo and Honourable George, are those new hands or old hands?
Yes, mine is a new hand. I wanted to just ask a simple question in terms, because I heard now that the amount of money that has been allocated for vaccination is like some 4.3 billion. Just how many people can you vaccinate with 4.3 billion? Because if what the Minister of Health said is the cost of vaccination and vaccines, I don't think we'll be able to even reach 20% of the population. And that is the allocation, the allocated budget for this year, meaning that if those are the quantums of amounts that you allocate for vaccination per year, it's going to take us 5 years to vaccinate the whole of South Africa. So in your estimation, just how many people are going to vaccinate with that amount that you have allocated now? And vaccination, not just the patches, the entire process from setting up of facilities, the syringes and everything else, how many people will you vaccinate with the 4.3 billion? I'm done, Che.
Okay. Honorable George, can I check if your hand is a new hand?
No, thanks, Chair. I've lowered my hand. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, honorable members. And as you comment on the last comment by Honorable Shivambo, can you also give us an indication of the financial sector summit that has been postponed several times? I know that it's difficult times now with the pandemic and lockdown and all that, but just an indication as to whether it's still on track or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honourable members, for the questions. Just in terms of Honourable Shivambo's question, 4.350 billion. We are aware that may not be enough. The department indicated in their plan that they want to target 40 million South Africans this year. Whether that's achievable or not is something else, but that's the target that has been set. Now, what we have committed to, we did indicate in the time of the budget that the contingency reserve money that we have put in will also kick in if there's need to actually increase the 4.35 billion. That's the most realistic estimate that we had at the time when we put the budget together. We could have taken the whatever is allocated in the contingency reserve and allocated to the department. But honourable members, you'll remember that in my opening remarks, I did indicate that currently we have 4.3 billion, but if need be, we'll obviously make more allocations at the time of the adjustment budget. What Cabinet has committed and confirmed to us is that this is a public good, and we'll ensure that no person is going to not be vaccinated as a result of allocations or money being available. That we will make sure that we vaccinate anyone possibly in the current financial year. But I know the estimate is 40 million South Africans, and the minimum amount this year is 4.3. It could increase to any number based on what the budget can carry, and more allocations are made next year and the year three, including some provincial allocations towards the vaccination program. In terms of the financial sector summit, Chair, it's in a network, you know, the best of my knowledge, I know some colleagues can come in here. This it remains a network process. It is not in our control. But we can obviously find that out in terms of where we are at on Abraham, in terms of that summit that has been on the cusp for some time. Thank you very much.
Chair, just quickly so that we do, this one is not let to pass. The question in relation to vaccination is, how many people can you vaccinate with 4.3 billion? I'm not talking about the intentions. I'm talking like your own estimation. How many people will 4.3 billion vaccinate? That is the question. If you can respond to it now, can you please give us a written response?
Chair, with your permission, I will certainly give a written response to Honorable Shivambo after consultation with the Department of Health. Thank you very much. I'll do that.
All right. We take that. Honorable members, there be no further questions. I will just check with Alan. Are there any announcements in terms of forthcoming meetings?
It's just tomorrow. It's a briefing by SARS on the annual performance plan. Same time, 9 to 12.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much. Honorable members, I just want to thank you for your cooperation and attendance in this meeting. I just want to thank also the National Treasury. I know that the Deputy Minister also had to leave for another meeting, as he indicated at the beginning of the meeting. DG, thank you so much. I know that there are also areas that your team could have noted where the responses have not been sufficient. So as you respond to the issues that have been raised by, in fact, on the issue of the vaccination program, please ensure that other members who have not sufficiently responded to other questions also make a note and do a written response. We want to thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm hoping that we remain committed to issues of transformation of the economy, and we also want to impress upon the department that this is what this committee hopes for. Then this is what this committee will always look for as we interact with the department. And for sure, you have also spoken on the advancement of the country in terms of the developmental interest. That is for us very interesting as well. And we look forward to seeing what Treasury does. Lastly, DG, on the issue of local municipalities, I know that Treasury has acted on some of the municipalities that have got financial irregularities. And how I wish, DG, that there could also, I know that municipalities are also co-opta entities. However, in terms of whatever we can do as the National Treasury, let's do our best to ensure that financial performance is at its best. And where there are follies, as National Treasuries, we are the ones who allocate funds to these different municipalities. And therefore, it becomes our responsibility once again to ensure that there is accountability. And if there is no accountability, or if there is defiance one way or the other, we need to see consequences as society. Thank you so much, DG. May you have a nice day, all of you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, and thank you to honourable members. Thank you. Bye.